This Is Your Life, Season 1, Episode 4. Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to give you the clarity, courage, and commitment you need to do what matters. My name is Michelle Cachette, and I'm your co-host today, and I'm sitting in the studio with Michael Hyatt. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Michelle.
When it comes to platform building, there's a lot to think about. Twitter, Facebook, webinars, Pinterest, blogging, podcasting is growing all the time, as you know. And everyone has advice for what you absolutely must do in order to be successful. I mean, you just don't have to go very far at all on the internet or television or wherever to hear more advice about what we should be doing, right?
It's a whole industry now.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of contrary opinions about what needs to happen.
Yep.
Today, if you are overwhelmed with where to begin and you have a platform that needs attention and you have a very limited time to devote to it, which honestly, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a limited time to devote to it. We're all very kind of pressed for time. Then this episode is for you. Our goal today is to help you know precisely where you need to invest most of your time in order to get the maximum benefit for your platform. All right, Michael, when it comes to platform building, as I mentioned, there are at least 100 or more things that I could do every single day that could potentially help build my platform. But that's not realistic. I don't have time to do 100 things. So you say that there's one action or there's one area that I can invest in that deserves my attention more than anything else. And what is it?
Well, it's really creating absolutely great content, at least the best content you're capable of. You know, that trumps SEO tactics. That trumps social media followers. That trumps all these vanity metrics, you know, that we try to pay attention to. But that, above and beyond anything else, is what will generate a large platform.
You know, and there's a lot of, how should I say this gently, a lot of not great content out there. So if we spend the time to create good content, and that's what we're aiming for, it really can set us apart from so many others.
It really can, and it has to be consistent. You know, it's not like you can create good content and then walk away from it and hope that good content will last for a long time, because the internet's really like a river in a sense. You know, the content's just coming by every day. And if you're not continually making deposits into that river, you'll soon be forgotten. So you've got to create great content, and you've got to do it on a consistent basis if you want to get the visibility and the reach that you need to build a platform.
So some days, you know, I spend a lot of time writing or creating that content, but I feel really guilty at times because I'm not real savvy at all of the other pieces of marketing or selling or getting that word out there. But you're saying, in a sense, that if I'm spending quality time on building good content, that's not the end of the world. That's actually good time.
No, that's absolutely not. Now, there's some things you need to do, and we'll talk about those in this episode, but getting that great content is the first and most important component. And even if you don't like selling, if you don't like marketing, and I don't know who said it, I should know, but somebody said content is the new marketing. And it's really true. Having frequent content, adding value to people, meeting people's needs, answering their questions, that's what's going to get you an audience. And everything else is secondary.
Now, there's nothing more frustrating than, let's say I sit down to write a blog post. And there are times, first of all, that I spend probably way too much time writing a single blog post because, you know, that I want it to be right. I want it to be perfect. And I just can spend a ton of time doing that.
That's your perfectionism.
Yeah,
thing.
It is.
I have a hard time relating, but.
Yeah, whatever. Totally calling you out on that. But I'll spend all that time writing a blog post and then I'll post it. And there's nothing more frustrating than to spend that much time on what you believe is good content. And you can't get anybody to read it or they read it, but they don't necessarily share it or trying to get the word out there. So what would be the next most important thing for platform building? Once you have good content, where then should I spend my next amount of time or energy?
Well, I think you have to understand what the strategic objective is of all this platform building. And I didn't understand this for years. It's painfully obvious when I say it here in a second, but I got really distracted by 1,000 different things. You know, I thought, well, maybe building my Twitter following was the most important, or my Facebook presence was the most important, or creating content that generated a lot of engagement in terms of comments, mm-hmm. you know, that was the most important. But that's not really the most important thing. The most important thing you can do as a platform builder, and that really brings us down to this second strategy, which is to use a dedicated list subscription system so that you're building an email list. You've got to build an email list. And when I left Thomas Nelson to go pro, so to speak, to do this full time, I woke up one morning suddenly aware, because I'd heard this thing about, you know, the money is in the list, and that's where you're going to generate or monetize and be able to support yourself financially. And so I realized that I had 2,771 subscribers. This was just 3 years ago. And I went, what was I thinking? Because for the last 7 years, I've been blogging like crazy, and I've had no emphasis on my subscriber list. You know, I had the thing that most bloggers have, which is, you know, get updates, and they put the little, you know, fill in the form box. But as it turns out, that's not that compelling. You know, people are not looking for updates. What they're looking for is solutions to their problems, answers to their questions. They're looking for real value. And so I had to come to terms with the fact that if I was going to turn this into something that was more than a hobby, that was really something that could sustain me and sustain my family, that I was going to have to get really, really serious about my email list. And so that brings us back to the second strategy. Use a dedicated list subscription system. And here's what I mean by that. You really need something like MailChimp or AWeber. And if you're listening to this and your eyes are beginning to glaze over, stop. This, I'm not going to get any more technical than this. You can find out about it. Both of those services will help you manage an email list, and they'll walk you through the process step by step, click by click. And it's really easier than you think. Once you set it, you'll probably never think about it again. But using a service like that, I went from 2,800, let's round it up, 2,800 email subscribers to over 100,000 in 3 years. But it took that kind of focus, that singular, almost myopic focus on doing, getting that one thing right.
So, you know, overall, again, for you that are listening, our goal here today is to talk about where you can maximize your limited time to build your platform. And really what you're saying, Michael, is that where we need to spend most of our time is building that email list.
That's right.
And that email list is going to be so critical for you. And Twitter's important, and other social media investments are important. There's other good things. But if you don't have that email list, then you're just always, always scrapping, trying to grab and reach for more and more followers or things. But that email list is gold for you.
It is. And we were talking about this morning, or I was talking about, my frustration with Facebook.
Yes.
You know, and I put a post out there, and I was frustrated because Facebook was deciding who was going to see that post.
Mm-hmm.
Really frustrating, because I've got these people who have opted in to follow me on Facebook, and yet Facebook was deciding, almost like a nanny, who was going to get to see my feed and who wasn't. And, you know, everybody in the social media world's complaining about this. I'm just adding my complaint to it. It's very frustrating. I don't need Facebook to do that for me, and I don't want it to do it for other people either. But when I've got an email list, I don't have anybody gating it or throttling it or putting a governor on it. I can get to everybody with a direct communication, and that's why email is so important. And this is why I advocate, really, in my book Platform, why you need a home base, which is your blog, where you're going to capture these email addresses.
Yes.
All this other stuff out there, Twitter and Facebook and all that, think of that as an embassy. You're going to have a presence there, but you always want to refer people back to your blog, which is where you're going to capture the email addresses.
And as long as we are in this kind of always changing, always morphing social media world, I mean, we're always going to be at the mercy of these other applications, because it's their, it's property we're renting, in a sense, right? It's, they own it. So we're always at the mercy of the landlord. When it comes to our email list, our blog, that's our home. I mean, own that. That's ours. And so that's where we have the control. So we can spend a lot of time being frustrated about these places where we're renting and how they don't play by the rules we want them to play by, or we can just focus on what we own, which is what you're suggesting today, and that we need to spend more time focusing on our email list than necessarily all the other things we're doing.
And also to just say, too, the content on our site, too, on our blog, because sometimes people think that, well, I'm going to do the equivalent of a blog post on Facebook, or I've got a friend that's really big in LinkedIn, and LinkedIn just recently asked me if I would contribute on a regular basis there. But here's the question I ask myself, you know, following up on your real estate metaphor, would you build a house on rented property, on a rented lot?
Mm.
No.
No.
So why would you do it in cyberspace?
Oh, true, but we do. We do. I mean, we try to. We try to force to, and it just is not a good idea. All right, just to make sure we're all tracking here, the goal today is to give you strategies to build your email list, because that really is the best use of your time if you're building a platform and you have a limited amount of time. And so we want to build that email list. The first strategy to do that is to make sure that you generate great content that's worth reading.
Absolutely.
That's always hands down going to be the first. If you're skipping ahead and doing these other strategies before you have content, it's like selling a product that you haven't really developed yet. I mean, it's not going to happen. So develop great content that's so important. The second piece of that is to use a dedicated list subscription system, which you talked about, MailChimp and
AWeber.
And
there's hundreds of them out there.
I mean, there's so many. Some that are free options, some that are more paid options. I mean, there's so many different possibilities.
And for the people that want to know what I use, I do use MailChimp. And one of the reasons I like it, it's got a very easy to use user interface. Mm-hmm. And it's free for the first 2,000 subscribers. So you can kind of get a little bit of momentum and traction before you start paying for it. You're going to eventually pay for any of these. There's no ultimately free option. But here's the thing you got to remember is that once you start generating cash flow, that affords you the opportunity to invest in the better tools and to take it to the next level. You don't have to get ahead of yourself, but start with free, but realize that it's not going to be free forever.
Yeah. Again, it's business expense. I use MailChimp as well.
Do you?
So easy to use. Somebody like even me can use it, which is fabulous.
Well, and sometimes people have heard me talk about Infusionsoft, and I use that also. And I use actually both of these tools, but they're different. I use Infusionsoft, and this is just for the few technical people that are listening to this. I use Infusionsoft for automated email campaigns, like when we're doing a launch or promoting a product. But MailChimp for the delivery of my, you know, day in, day out blog content and podcast content.
That's good to know. And I'm considering the same thing with Infusionsoft. I haven't made that transition yet for the automated emails, but
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great option.
And but it's complex.
So it is very complex.
Not easy.
And so, you know, those that choose to do that, you definitely need to do your research, maybe get some people on board that are experts in that area to help you with it. Otherwise, you end up leveraging or not under leveraging that huge tool.
Well, and you got to think, what are you really good at? You know, and what I'm good at, could I get all geeked out and figure out how to run the campaign manager in Infusionsoft? Probably. But it's not the best and highest use of my time.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I do that nobody else on my team can do, or at least in the way that I do it, is generate content. You know, and so any time that I'm spent not doing that is time that is being wasted and kind of squandered. It's not a good investment.
True. Okay, let's move on to the third strategy for building your email list.
Okay, so the third strategy is to make your sign-up form highly visible. Now, let me just say that if you don't have what we're going to call here in a minute an email opt-in or an opt-in magnet, something that is compelling that gives people an opportunity to give their address to get something free, don't worry about that. Get an opt-up form up, even if it's only for updates.
Mm-hmm.
Because
some kind of button.
You're going to get some people even there. And it may not be as many as you want. You can get more efficient later, but get a form up from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I want to tell you about is where to put it.
Yes, because that is key. It makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference because it can't be buried. And you want to be able to optimize the digital real estate that you have and the space that you've been given. So my number one favorite spot is the upper right-hand sidebar. That's the most important space on a blog site or on a website. That's where people naturally look, at least in the West, where we've been conditioned to read from left to right. And that's where their eye ends up. They move from left to right and they end up right there on the right-hand side. So you want to have a sign-up form there. But here's a couple other options too. Your about page, and everybody should have an about page because as it turns out, that's the second most visited page on your blog. Because if people find content they like, they want to know a little bit more about you, so they click on the about page. And I've seen this on all kinds of platforms, but consistently, second most visited page. So have a sign-up form there. You know, as people are reading about you, they've obviously taken the next step. They like your content enough to find out more about you. So invite them to subscribe to your blog. Another place you can do it is what I would call an after post subscription form. If somebody's made, and you can see all this at michaelhyatt.com, but if you have read the post and somebody stayed with you to the very end, that person is a ripe candidate to be a subscriber.
That's interesting.
So
yes.
Invite them at the very end to join the list. Another place, and there's a lot of other places. But
now, real quick on that, is there a way to automate that where it just shows up at the end of every post? I mean, does the Get Noticed theme have that option where you include
it? It does not. So we've got some custom code, but probably in the next few months we'll be adding that because we've had a lot of requests for it.
Nice. Yep. That's great. Because you're right. Once everybody's, I mean, those that have hung in with you through the whole content, first of all, that means you wrote great content.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
So if they get to the end, well done. You wrote something fabulous. But yeah, take advantage of that moment. Get them to sign up right there.
Ask for the sale, so to speak.
And you don't want them to have to scroll back up to the top right corner to get to that button.
Because they may not find it. It's got to appear in context of where they are. That's why I said the about page. Now, another spot that's become really popular too, and right now, again, the Get Noticed theme doesn't have this, but I'm about to switch to this on my own site. And by the way, my site is the lab for everything we do with the Get Noticed theme for WordPress.
And we all appreciate that. Thank you.
Because I try to figure it out. You know, we split test stuff. We'll get into that in a minute. But I want to make sure that what I'm delivering to my audience and what I'm giving you in terms of advice is stuff that I've tested and actually works. So another really popular option that people are using is what's called the feature box, which is at the very top in the header. You've seen this before?
I have.
And so they have like the first name field and the email address. And by the way, those are the only two fields that most people need. Mm-hmm. You don't need more than that. And if you add more than that, it'll decrease your response. But go ahead and put the feature box at the top. That way people can't miss it. And I'm going to test that soon. And if it works, we're going to put it into the theme.
And they'll come back. We'll have another discussion about that later. And you'll come back, let us know what happened.
And I will. And I've got one more that I've saved the most controversial for last.
Really?
You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. It is the dreaded, often hated, maligned, sometimes annoying, pop-up.
Oh, no, not the pop-up.
This gets a lot of grief. And the truth is, they work.
So an email subscription button, that's a pop-up.
Yeah.
And
a form. Yeah.
A form.
Yep.
That's a pop-up, and it works.
And you can go to my website now at michaelhyatt.com and see one in action. I think it's a pretty elegant one. But first of all, the pop-ups have become very sophisticated. When I installed this, we tested it. It doubled my number of weekly subscribers.
Really?
Yep. And
was
you know
it
how many
worth
complaints
all the people
I got?
That you? Yeah, I was going to say, how many complaints did you get?
I got exactly zero.
Really?
None. Now that doesn't account for people that got
that
annoyed
and
left. But here's the cool thing about it.
But if you got double the subscriptions,
double the subscriptions, it's worth it to me. I mean, ultimately, that's what I'm after.
And you know, this is your business. I mean,
right.
This is your livelihood. This is your business. And so the goal in business is to stay in business, right?
That's right.
I know that sounds so obvious, but we, you know, sometimes we start feeling guilty about that. But I mean, really, so many businesses don't work, and our goal is to stay in business. So if you find something that works, you know, you always have to mitigate it with your audience and take care of your audience. That's so critical, but it's okay.
And this is such an important point you're making, because our goal in business is not to satisfy the people that are on the fringes. They're probably not going to get in the game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to take the people that we really can serve with real solutions and real answers and be highly focused on those people. And I know that when I have them on an email subscription list, I can serve them at a deeper, more intense, more transformational level.
And if we really believe in our message, if we really believe in what we're offering, which none of us should be doing what we're doing if we don't really believe in it, okay? But if we really believe in it, then we should want to get it into as many hands as possible.
Totally.
And so sometimes we'll have to talk ourselves off of that guilt and get out of that. So, and remember that what we're about is worthy and important.
Absolutely.
And valuable, and it's okay to do
that.
I
mean, we've taken the time to create it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it out there and get it distributed.
All right.
I got to say one other thing about pop-up. Sorry to interrupt you. But the thing about the pop-ups today is like mine puts a cookie on the website of the person viewing so that if they cancel out of that and they don't want to see it, they won't see it for another 30 days.
Okay.
It's not like it's going to keep popping up over and over again.
Nice.
And the service that I use called Opt-in Monster, the thing I like about this is it uses a technology against a little geeky called exit. What do they call that? It's like exit determination. Like it sees when you're about to exit the page.
Okay.
Like you're going up to a menu to exit, and then it displays the pop-up then.
Oh.
The worst thing you can do, please do not do this if you follow my advice on pop-ups, do not let that thing fire too quickly. Like if you've ever been to a website, I was at one just 2 days ago, where the page loaded and bam, the pop-up was in my face. That's like asking somebody else out on a date. You know, somebody, and for the first date, you walk up to the door, open the door, and give them a big kiss. It's like, it's too soon.
Too soon.
You know, get to know me a little bit first.
Okay, that's a fabulous analogy. So for all of you, if you show up on Michael's site, he's not going to kiss you too soon.
That's right. I'm going to kiss you.
He's going to be far less intrusive. Okay, so I'm not quite sure I'm ready to do pop-ups, but I think this is fascinating. And I love how it's a pop-up, but it's not an intrusive pop-up. And it's just giving them easy access. Our goal is to make it as easy as possible for people to get what they need.
That's right. I mean, it's just a click if they want to X out of it.
And
there's
other
alternatives to that, you know, that are kind of pop-ups, but less intrusive. But I dare you, Michelle.
Oh, no.
To try this.
Oh, no.
Because, yeah, I know it would help you. You need more email subscribers. I'm just telling you, I don't know how many you have right now, but it doesn't matter. You need more than what you got.
More than my mother and my father? Is that what you're saying?
I need more, too.
I might. I might actually do this. That's great. Okay. So far, generate great content. Use a dedicated list subscription system. The third strategy is make your sign-up form highly visible. And the fourth strategy here for building your email list is to offer an incentive for subscribing. Now, I think it's important that this is not first on the list. Sometimes people fret and stress about this one strategy, but it doesn't have to be first, but it is on the list because it's important. So talk about this for a minute.
Well, you want to, basically this is my approach to life, is launch, tweak, and improve.
Yes.
Okay, so it's kind of like we've done with the podcast. You know, we're learning, we're growing, we're constantly improving. Same thing with the email incentive. Don't wait, do not wait till you have an email incentive to launch an email sign-up form. Get the form up. You can do the email incentive later. Now, you're going to want to do that because it's going to be more compelling and it's going to up your conversion rate. So the number of people that hit your page, if you have an email incentive of some sort, it's going to convert much higher than if you don't have an email incentive. So the thing you got to ask yourself is, what are the frustrations? What are the challenges? What are the things that my audience is struggling with? What are the pain points? So that's kind of one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is, what are their aspirations? What are their dreams? What do they daydream about? What do they hope to achieve? And I want to create some kind of email incentive that addresses one of those felt needs. So it might be, now, you know, when I started, again, this was 3 years ago, I created an ebook. It was called How to Create a Personal, or it's called Create Your Own Personal Life Plan. And so for 3 years, it did great for me, or about 2.5 years. I recently changed it, but it was a lot of work. You know, it was a 90-page ebook. You know, it took me a while to write it, but here's a bigger
90 pages.
Yeah. Now, a lot of that was form, to be honest, but probably about 45 pages, but I think it was like 12,000 words.
But that's still, I mean, we're not talking about a single page or a couple pages. I mean, it was a pretty huge undertaking.
And the issue for me was I wanted to add a lot of value, but here was the problem. It didn't give the reader a quick win. This is what you're after.
Okay, quick win.
And if they have to read through an ebook, it's too much work, generally speaking. Now, if you've got an ebook up, don't fret. Leave it up till you get something else. But now, because I want a quick win, I'm much more prone to put up something like a cheat sheet, a directory, a list of tips. What I've got up right now is 99 resources, my toolkit that I use in my business. 9 businesses to make your personal and professional life hum is, I think, the subtitle. But it's just, it's a quick win. But it's got to be a specific promise. You know, I see people that have things like, you know, people that write on leadership. You know, they'll have some generic kind of title about leadership. You know, we don't need any more generic anything. People don't have generic problems. They have specific problems. And so you've got to have specific solutions to their specific problems.
Make it daily. And that's what the phrase that I try to use is, we have to meet a daily need, something that somebody woke up today and has a problem that you can fix. And that's what you want to address, not something too nebulous and big and broad.
That's right. And you got to spend a lot of time on the headline. I cannot overestimate the importance of this.
Okay.
Because in a world that's very busy and very noisy, people are scanning. And you've got like 2 nanoseconds to grab somebody's attention. And it would behoove all of us who are in marketing, which is everybody on the planet. You know, everybody's selling, even if it's only a point of view. You've got to be able to get out a crisp, kind of headlined message and get it out there quickly.
On that giveaway.
On that giveaway.
Got it.
And that's why I would recommend, again, a couple of resources I've recommended in the past. First of all, copyblogger.com, which is a website that is really worth subscribing to. They have a opt-in called How to Create Magnetic Headlines. So we'll have a link in the resources for the show notes to get this. But another one is, this book sounds a little bit cheesy, but I recommend it all the time, and it's a desk reference for me. And it's called Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich by David Garfinkel. powerful, powerful headline templates. And I use that for inspiration, and then I vamp off that.
So when it comes to that giveaway, practically speaking, you're going to have your email sign up form button on the upper right corner. And then as part of that, once you have some kind of giveaway, you're going to include a graphic or something that goes along with that.
That's
that
right.
Lets people know it's that promise that you can, you sign up and I have this for you for free.
That's right. And you want to graphically depict it. And just how the mechanics works is once they confirm their email address, you're going to deliver by autoresponder that email incentive.
All right.
Maybe it's a PDF or something else.
Got it. Okay, what's the fifth strategy here for building your email list?
The fifth one is to design a branded email template. Now, there's a lot of debate in the info marketer world about whether emails should be plain text or they should be branded. And kind of the conventional wisdom touted by most of the big internet marketers is that it should be plain text because that mimics real email. It looks like real email. But here's the problem with it. It doesn't really fool anyone. Hmm. You still know that's a marketing message, right? So I set out to test this because I was absolutely convinced that all these guys who were my peers in info marketing world were right. And because I had a branded template that had my logo in it, and that's really not more sophisticated than that, had a version of my header in it, I decided to test those straight up. So we did a split test only on new subscribers, not subscribers that had been conditioned by receiving the branded template, but people that were coming now subscribing for the first time. Half of those, this was over a 2-week period, we sent the plain text version follow-up, and then the other half we sent the branded version follow-up. And much to my chagrin, and Andrew Buckman, if you're listening, you know who you are, who's my web designer, said, I don't think that's right. He said, I think the branded, because people learn to trust that, and they know it's from you, it's going to pull better. And he was right. It outperformed the plain text one. So before you jump on the conventional wisdom, and this is kind of how I approach all marketing, is I want to test it myself, but it didn't work for me. I think a branded template builds trust over time.
Yeah, I've seen the same. And I've thought about changing a little bit. Now, there is a kind of a happy medium. You don't have to do a branded template that's so robust that looks like your website and all that kind of stuff. It can have, like you said, a version of your header, maybe just the logo, and then your text, and it can be pretty clean.
That's right. Just maybe your the colors in your brand palette. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully you have a brand palette of a finite group of colors. Maybe the same fonts, maybe the logo, maybe a photo, whatever.
Got it. Okay, let's move on to number six, the sixth strategy for building your email list, and it would be to follow up with your subscribers. Now, when I read this, and I know this is something that you feel very strongly about, my question is how much follow-up is too much follow-up? Because there does tend to be some of that tension between people don't, you know, you have to find the balance between reaching out and touching them enough, but not too much, because people can get really upset if you follow up too often.
Yeah, I don't recommend, again, for the normal email subscriber where they're subscribing to your blog, there's a sense in which future blog posts are the follow-up.
Okay.
But here's a couple follow-up things that you have to do, I think, as a minimum. And again, you can create these as autoresponders in MailChimp so that once you set them up, and again, they've got tutorials there that'll walk you through the process. Once you have the autoresponder set up, you're never going to think about it again. But first and foremost, when somebody submits the form, you want to reply back to them and have them double opt in or confirm their email address. This is critically important because when you move, like if you do become successful in this and you move to something like Infusionsoft, they are going to insist on double opt-in names, or you risk having your mailings being throttled. They don't trust them as much. Because I could go to your website and I could sign a dozen of my friends to your website. And if you're not confirming with them that they want to be subscribed, then how are they going to think about it? As spam.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so you got to have the double opt-in process. So at a minimum, you're going to have that follow-up email. The other thing, once they do that, then I want to send an email, and I do send an email that basically tells them what they can expect, kind of my commitment to them, and invites them to reply to me and let me know what some of their needs are or what they, what they're struggling with. So I use it as an opportunity to do a little reconnaissance.
You know, we really can't overemphasize this. I think I was just telling you this yesterday that I'm still having people sign me up for their email lists. And I haven't opted, you know, first of all, I haven't gone to their site and signed up. But second of all, they don't have that double opt-in. So I'm not getting an email asking for my confirmation.
This is like a blogger or a speaker. They're signing you up to their site.
They're signing me up to their site just arbitrarily. So I end up getting these newsletters and blog posts and emails right in my inbox that I have not signed up for. And, you know, just in case you don't know this, those of you who are listening, that's not okay. And although I may be very happy about what you're doing and very supportive, you could get into a lot of trouble by doing that. And not all people are as just gracious to just ignore it. And there are some people that can get very upset, and it's illegal.
It's illegal, and it creates a negative branding impression.
It really does.
Because you feel violated. You didn't have permission to do that.
And there's a sense of desperation. When you start signing other people up for your site that haven't signed in, you communicate the sense of desperation whether you feel that or not. And that's not a good vibe in this market.
You want a legitimate list that's clean, that's double opt-in, all that.
And I know the temptation is to build your email fast, but do it the right way.
Absolutely.
And it's a much more quality list, because then you have loyal followers and people that are part of your family and your community versus, you know, forcing these signups.
Yeah, and if you haven't read this yet, this would be a good philosophical thing for people to read, is Seth Godin's book, Permission Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was written more than a decade ago, but it really set the bar for what we have to do in marketing today in terms of getting people's permission.
All right, walk us through the final of these 7 strategies for building your email list.
Yeah, this is pretty simple, but just remind your readers to sign up.
Okay, well, what do you mean? Explain that.
Well, it could be like if you're out doing a speaking engagement, you know, that you invite people to sign up and maybe you give them a special opt-in, like a resource page where they could go to get your slides or to get a handout, and they sign up at the same time. It's also taking advantage of those things like an after text form.
Okay.
Or even sometimes in the blog post, occasionally I'll just mention, you know, hey, subscribe to this. Or encourage people to pass it along to their friends. Like if you've enjoyed this email newsletter, forward it to a friend. Now, they're going to have to sign up themselves for the reason we were talking about earlier. But that's a great thing about an email, too, is that people know how to share that. Forward it to a friend, forward it to colleagues. But encourage sharing and make it easy to share.
Now, do you remind people to sign up on your social media platforms and feeds as well? Do you ever put out a tweet that says, you know?
You know, I don't. It's probably not a bad idea to do occasionally, but what I'm always trying to do out in my embassies, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, is I'm trying to get people to come back to my blog. So I'm trying to tease them about content that only appears on my blog. And then when they come back to my blog,
you're hoping the blog kind of converts them. Got it.
Got it.
All right. So today we've been talking about, first of all, just the absolute critical importance for you that if you have a limited amount of time to build your platform, that your email list deserves your first attention.
Yes.
And the 7 strategies in order to build that email list, which honestly, right now, this is kind of a huge hot topic. I mean, everybody's spending a lot of time talking about this. These are the 7 strategies that you can use in order to build your list. And it really does work. The first, generate content worth reading. Second, use a dedicated list subscription system. Third, make your sign-up form highly visible, upper right-hand corner, and then you gave us some other places we can put it. Offer an incentive for subscribing. Design a branded email template. 6, follow up with your subscribers. And 7, remind your readers to sign up. Pretty simple stuff, but if we're consistent with this really does work.
It'll really move the needle on your business, and that's the thing we're after.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, or if you'd like to get some of this information, maybe you missed some of those 7 strategies, you can find the outline and the show notes for this entire episode at michaelhyatt.com. In addition to that, you can also watch the entire video of us sitting here talking about this, which, you know, how fun is that? I don't know, maybe not. Maybe some people don't want to watch us. But you can, again, find all of that information at michaelhyatt.com. Michael, do you have any final thoughts today?
Yeah, I just think get focused on this. Don't be sidetracked by what we called earlier the vanity metrics, all the stuff that everybody else looks to who's not succeeding and they're continually reminded of why they're not succeeding. You don't have to have huge traffic to succeed. What you do need to have is a very focused, targeted email address of people who want to, email addresses of people who want to hear from you on a regular basis.
Wonderful. Thanks again for being with us today, everyone. And until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Do what matters. On the next episode of This Is Your Life, Michael and I talk about what you need to do to create team unity that drives your results.